Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here because we understand the power of prayer. Today is not about symbolism. It is about substance.
Sorry, this is Wretched Radio. Those words coming out of the mouth of Miss Symbolism herself are a little bit more than ironic. That was the voice of Paula White. She's the head of the Faith Office in Washington, D.C., leading a Trump prayer breakfast that turned into an ecumenical fest deluxe. Paula White leading the charge and telling us this isn't about symbolism. If it's not about symbolism, then why are you doing it publicly with cameras? Why do these events have to be so public? Why do so many Christian events have to happen in front of a government structure? Of course, this is symbolic. They're obviously trying to make a statement. If anybody knows about symbolism and putting on a show, it's Paula White.
And we gather because we believe in this power of prayer to bring peace in the storm, clarity in chaos and confusion, unity in division, and strength in weakness.
Now, please note, on the dais, there are a number of religions represented. Has she made any distinctions to make sure that she is not violating 2 John? You say, what's a violation of 2 John? It reads thusly, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Speaking of Paula White, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. So these are probably Gnostics, but they just don't think that God could be flesh. He maybe appeared as flesh, but he actually wasn't because flesh is bad. That's basically Gnosticism. It's also, it's kind of related to Greek dualism. Physical things, this stuff, it's tainted. It can be dirty. It can be bad. It can be harmful. Spiritual things. Therefore, if Jesus is God, he can't have a body. So was the conclusion of a number of heretics in the early church. John already addressing it in 2 John. Many deceivers have come into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Let's go to the footnotes. It's been a bit since I've encouraged you, if you do not have a MacArthur Study Bible, to get one. Read the entire New Testament, any order, at your own pace, but read every single footnote as you go, and you're going to learn so much. For instance, if I were reading this without really thinking it or willing to go research it, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. All right. And then I just glossed by, who is he talking about? Let's just go see if MacArthur has an explanation for this, which is verse 7. Oh, he does, citing a number of cross-reference verses that you can go look up. John gives limits for Christian hospitality. This is the centerpiece of John's thought in this epistle. So in other words, we're getting into the section. He does a preamble, he does a greeting, and a very brief benediction at the end. But the short message inside of 2 John is, don't be unbiblically ecumenical. Watch out how you partner with people who do not share your beliefs, because it sends the wrong signal. Now, in this day and age, it was hospitality. You bring in an itinerant preacher, which, by the way, John addresses in 3 John. We are supposed to bring them in. And not to digress too far from my digression, Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus says, what you've done unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me. Liberals, Roman Catholics would take that and say, aha, social justice. We're supposed to have feeding programs. We want the government to take care of everybody because that's what Jesus said. That's not what he said, at least not in that verse. That verse is related to 3 John. What you have done to the least of these, my brother, who's he talking about? He's not talking about all of humanity. The New Testament never uses the word brothers that way to describe everybody in the world. It's either somebody you're related to with blood or a spiritual brother. In the context, and I think it goes back to Matthew chapter 10, the sending of the disciples, could be wrong on that chapter, but he talks about the rewards of people who take care of them, his brothers that he has sent out. And 3 John then reiterates that we are to take care of those who are missionaries, who are itinerant ministers. That is who is being addressed in Matthew chapter 25. It is not a call for social justice. It is a marker of a genuine convert, aka a sheep, versus a false convert or unbeliever, aka goat. They don't take care of ministers. They don't take care of gospel preachers. True believers do. So we are called to it. So as long as I've digressed from my digression, this is 3 John. It's really clear that the first of all, in Matthew, it's clear that he's not talking about social programs. He's not talking about being somehow liberal in our politics. He's talking about the criteria for separating the sheep from the goats. So this is 3 John, not to be confused with 2 John. We can do the math ourselves, Friel. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Hospitality is good, unless, as you read in 2 John, you are hospitable toward a false teacher. And this is really the clearest section in the Bible about ecumenism. Well, okay, there's others that we shouldn't be unequally yoked with somebody who's not a believer. But I think this is more helpful when it comes to understanding what do we do in public with people who are a different denominational stripe or just a different religion altogether. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. So here's the footnote then from MacArthur. John gives limits for Christian hospitality. This is the centerpiece of his thought. Since Satan comes as an angel of light, believers must be on guard against error by having an intimate acquaintance with the truth, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Okay, this is the part I was looking for. Here's this is the footnote, which is why if you don't have a MacArthur Study Bible, please get one. It will do you good. Here's what it says. The original language conveys the idea of a habitual denial of the undiminished deity and humanity of Christ. A biblical Christology maintains that Jesus Christ's nature was both fully God and fully man, with all the implications for the fulfillment of redemptive purposes. The essence of the severest error in false religions, heresies, and cults centers in a denial of the true nature of Jesus Christ. Now tell me that wouldn't help you when you read through these verses. And then it goes on to deal with all of the other verses, but we'll plow ahead. Look to yourselves that you do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Here it comes. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Christology is crucial. Here's our verse. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not be hospitable. Don't even greet this person, because in doing so, you share in their evil deeds. Now, it doesn't mean you adopt their heresy, but it does mean you're affirming it. Hey, false teacher. How you doing, heretic? Don't do that. While it is true that may have just been cultural in the first century, the principle for the 21st century is don't do anything that sends the message, I'm okay with this person. Let's go back to the MacArthur study notes to see what he says about this subject. You share in their evil deeds. Explanation: hospitality to such leaders aids the spread of their heresy. See, I missed that part right there. That's why these are so helpful. I was focusing on, hey, you're endorsing false teaching. You don't want to be guilty of that. And MacArthur brings out not only that, if you do something in this instance to help somebody who's a false teacher, you give to them, you support them in some way, then you're propagating the false teaching. Back to the study notes. You give the impression of sanctioning the teachings of these antichrists. supreme loyalty to God and his word alone must characterize the actions of every true believer. That's why I encourage you to get yourself a MacArthur Study Bible so that you will not be guilty in this instance of practicing unbiblical ecumenism, which I think was in full bloom on the White House lawn led by Paula White.
Prayer is not a religious act. It's a national necessity.
Actually, I think it is a religious act.
And as senior advisor to President Trump of the newly created and historic White House Faith Office.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how nervous she is. She's a professional speaker. And that's about it, by the way. She's a professional speaker. She's nervous.
I do carry a great responsibility to ensure that the voice of faith is not only heard,
faith,
but also honored.
This is almost King Charles-like. Not Christianity. Please make no mistake about it. This is all religions.
At the highest levels of government. And under President Donald Trump's leadership, faith has not been pushed aside. It has been brought back to where it always belongs, and that is center.
And it's all religions, as we are about to hear. What did these people pray? Do we have fellowship with those who pray to a different God? Should we be on a platform with those who do not represent the true and living God? Or should we flee from this type of ecumenism? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it. Use it. Share it. And then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed. Our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission, equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow. Go serve your King.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Know your reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s, who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the White House Ecumenical Fest. This is Wretched Radio. There was a prayer breakfast on the lawn of the White House. A number of religions were gathered to pray, to show the importance of prayer, led by Paula White. Let's eavesdrop, shall we?
Now, let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus with open hearts and a surrendered spirit.
Okay, I like thee in the name of Jesus. Let's give credit where credit is due.
Humbled by your mercy and grateful for this moment. Thank you for the nation. Thank you for your hand upon America. And thank you for every faith leader and leader and their voice that is gathered here today. We lift up President Donald Trump, our president and my friend. Cover him, keep him, surround him with divine supernatural protection. Let every assignment of the enemy roll off of him.
Okay. I've got a really small video. Jimmy, were his eyes closed at any point except when he was blinking?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And every purpose of heaven be fulfilled in him. Grant him wisdom beyond human understanding and capability.
Okay, sorry. All I can focus on is that she needs a drink of water. Let's move to a Jewish rabbi, shall we? Jimmy, my understanding is you told me you had to cut this up quite a bit.
I think the Jewish rabbi, yeah.
He started praying.
And then he
started preaching.
Yeah.
And got a little lost and then came back to it.
That's right. Almighty one and only God who was, is.
No, I'm sorry. He denies Christ. So he's not praying to the one and only God.
Almighty one and only God who was, is, and always will be, who created us all and everything that we see. We seek your grace and humbly ask for your blessing.
Grace? You're seeking grace? That's ironic.
Our nation and our world ache. As disaster, conflicts, and division rage, we pray for the president as he works so hard, and we ask that you please help him succeed.
Okay, here's what I'm getting from this. We've got a theme going on already. It's all about bless the nation, bless the religious leaders, in particular, bless President Trump. Okay, those prayers are appropriate, but there are bigger prayers that we should be praying that we often neglect. Most likely, when we get together to gather for prayer, not with imams and rabbis. What do we tend to pray about? Maybe your church prays a lot about politics. I suspect not. Jimmy, if I asked you, what is the number one prayer request about? What do you think the answer would be? The number one thing that people ask for themselves and for others.
Healing.
Health.
Yeah.
Health. There's somebody sick. Heal this. Help. We're in trouble here. And that is a perfectly great prayer. But I think there's greater prayers. Consider Paul's prayers. Please go read his prayers. He breaks into prayer, especially in Ephesians 3. His prayer for the Ephesians is that they would know the love of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, they were spiritual prayers, not just health prayers, not just protection prayers, not just political prayers. They're prayers for spiritual well-being. Those are more important prayers. And we want to make sure that we're not guilty of neglecting those. All right, Jimmy, so you cut this in two.
Yes.
I'm going to the last minute. Here okay. we go,
and
the
finally,
rabbi.
Dear God, please help us find harmony here at home, even as we vigorously debate the important issues and defend the rights of those who wish to speak in peace, to say their piece. Let us remain...
Like babies in the womb. Sorry.
In mindful of those timeless words of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson of sacred memory.
It's got it. If we don't get a Maimonides in here.
Who taught that the best way to bring together two feuding sides is to focus how they are actually all on the same side.
Now, is he praying still or did he kind of just tell us a little lecture?
As we are one society, one nation, living under you, God, in whom we trust, guided by your hand and your will, ultimately indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And may we usher in the long-awaited time your prophets have promised.
Can't wait to hear what this is.
Of peace and understanding between peoples.
That's only brought in through Messiah.
Kindness and grace. No more war or conflict with the coming of Mashiach.
There you go.
Redeemer.
Okay.
Soon. in our day.
Okay. I can affirm that because it is Mashiach who's going to bring that peace. Only after a whole lot of tribulation, but he's the one who's going to make the lion and the lamb to lie down together. Oh, I've never been shy about this. I like Jewish people. I just like them. And it breaks my heart. They're so smart. Not all of them, obviously, but as a rule, they're just very smart. And their Messiah has already come and he's offered them everything. And they reject him. Next up, Bishop Robert Barron. He's Roman Catholic.
Heavenly Father, Sovereign King, we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for all your benefits to our country. We know that the rights we enjoy to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness.
All political prayers. Let's try the Imam.
Let us pray. Today's a great day, made even more memorable by this event. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah.
Do I have to do everything?
In the name of God, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Okay, now, Paula White's got her head bowed. Everybody on the dais has their head bowed. This is not the same God. Allah is not the God of the Bible. How do I know? Because Islam denies Christ. If you do not affirm Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, and I think be a principle and application, all of the divine distinctives of Jesus Christ, the ontological nature, and how is it that we've got two natures, one God? How is he fully God, fully man? Those things must be affirmed, or you do not believe in the only true and living God.
Oh God, the source of peace, the bestower of wisdom, the one who is near to all.
He's as close as your jugular, says the Quran.
Call upon you with sincerity. We pause and turn to you with hearts of humble.
I'm trying to recall, a few weeks ago, I went looking for all of the Bible verses that talk about God's love. There's just several hundred. I then went to look for all of the verses in the Quran that talk about God's love, and they do exist. There, if I recall, could be wrong about this, but I'm not because I'm a talk show host. There were about six. And it was interesting, the string that was connected to God's love. For those who do these things, if you do these things, then Allah will love you. In other words, his love is predicated on your performance. That is not the God of the Bible, who loves despite our performance. I think we've forgotten this in our conservative circles, and I think I understand why. Protestantism has gone down such a slippery slope. These silly evangelical show people, because it's men and women these days, that have turned Christianity into this big gloppy mush fest. And how's about mainline Protestantism? That it's just ooey gooey love and just God adores us. And we go, whoa, but the reality is the Bible is replete with the message God is love. That's the way he describes himself. He's love. He doesn't love. He is love. He can't help but love because that's what he is. That's our religion. It's the God of love. I wonder if we've forgotten that to a degree. Was reading some Puritans. Oh, their language. I think it was Thomas Vincent. The Christian's love or the believer's love, the Christian love for the unseen Christ, something like that. Jimmy, maybe you can Google Thomas Vincent, real sweet Puritan writer. The love that we have for the, although you don't see him, you love him. That he wants us to love him. Why? Because he loves us. That's our religion. That's our faith. We're the religion of love. Sorry. It's not Islam. Jimmy, you got it? Thomas Vincent?
It's searching.
Oh, wow. What kind of internet do you... We've got crazy internet here.
We do, but it's
all right, then
today.
Fine. Because of Jimmy, we're going back to the Imam.
In gratitude and hope.
Hope you're happy,
guide
Jimmy.
Our nation,
I got it now.
Our leaders, our service members, and their families.
All right. It's basically the same old thing. We're all praying for political things.
Heavenly Father, eternal God.
Now, this is a bishop of... All right, I'm guessing of maybe a Pentecostal church?
I think so.
We gather in your majestic and presence today, grateful for the blessings and freedom and peace.
There we go. All right, so it was all politically bent. I don't think I'll ever be invited to one of these. I don't think that I'd ever go on a platform with all of these other religions. But I think I would be more like the imam. My prayer would become a sermon. Lord, as I stand here before you in Christ, because he's the second person of the Trinitarian Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the only true and living God, salvation belongs to Christ and Christ alone. I pray for the people on this platform that they would come to know the true and living God, because currently they don't. I would probably pray something like that, and then that would be my last appearance on an ecumenical platform. What's it called, Jimmy?
The True Christian's Love to the Unseen Christ.
That's our religion. This is Wretched Radio.